AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Davis Michelson is with us.
Affirmative.
Excellent. Excellent. Let's. We've got a lot of ground to cover with Scott Gerlt from the American Soybean Association. He's the economist there. So I want to jump right into it. Scott, welcome to AgriTalk. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on, Chip.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here because Davis and I have spent a lot of time already this year talking about the renewable diesel, and I want to talk about that coming up in a bit. But first, I want to talk about something that Davis and I have been talking about for the last, I don't know, geez, 6 weeks at least, and that's been a steep climb in fertilizer costs, and it's going to have impacts on the decisions that soybean growers, that corn growers make for the year ahead. What are your expectations?
Yeah, that's a great question, Chip. And, you know, we're hearing about this a lot from our soybean growers. The fertilizer industry has faced a lot of challenges this year. There's been all sorts of supply chain issues, weather issues such as Hurricane Ida, winter storms, natural gas prices are going up. There's countervailing duties or tariffs on multiple fertilizer products from multiple countries. And so we've seen fertilizer prices about double. And so that is changing the math on relative profitability. You hear talk of people looking at planting more corn, planting more soybeans just because of the higher fertilizer cost for corn. So I was penciling that out to some degree, and I'm not sure we're quite there yet. Soybean to corn price ratio has dropped quite a bit for next planting season compared to what it was for the current planting season. Mm-hmm. And so I think that may still favor corn just a bit on that, but it's made it a lot closer than it would have been otherwise. So, I mean, there's a lot of time between now and next planting season for, sure. for prices to move around more in fertilizer. But given fertilizer prices and just the corn and bean price, I'm not sure that it's going to be overwhelming for soybeans. It definitely looks better than it would otherwise, but that's kind of what I'm expecting at this point.
Okay. You know, Scott, when I pose this question to farmers and some guys at co-ops, are you hearing anything from the farmers? Is there going to be any wholesale changes in 2022? The mm-hmm. answer every time has been it's tough to bust these guys out of their rotations. So when we think about that, you know, it used to be if we could get the soybean to corn price ratio into that 2.6, 2.7 range, it would start to pencil out more, move some acres over to beans, maybe. But I think because everybody's right. so locked into that rotation, it's going to take more incentive than that, isn't it?
Yeah, I think research has been pretty overwhelming that there's a lot of advantages to sticking into your rotation. So I think it is going to take quite a bit of movement here to really move people off of that rotation.
Right. What are your expectations? And if this is something that is outside of your thought process, that's fine. But do you have a set of expectations on what this fertilizer market's going to do?
Oh, that's a really good question. Like I said, there's a lot of factors, and some of those are shorter time frame factors, and some of them aren't. So, I'm hopeful we'll see some relaxing of price. But I think some of these factors are going to be with us for a little while. I mean, so the countervailing duties, tariffs, those are going to be on for a while, very likely. Some of the issues such as Hurricane Ida slowing down shipments or closing some facilities or some of the winter storm issues, those are shorter term and those will get fixed here before long. But we're still facing supply chain issues like labor, freight costs, and those could potentially be around a little bit. Those are really a wild card. It's hard to really predict those. Same with natural gas prices. What do you see happening there? So I think we have such a range of issues that I think there's going to continue to be some higher prices for a while. I mean, there's just a lot of demand for fertilizer too. That's something I really haven't talked about yet, but there's quite a few more acres being planted.
Yeah.
And so I can make a case for some weakening of prices, but I can also make a case that we're not going to go back to where we were recently anytime soon.
Right. Right. Exactly. And it feels a bit like 2008, except 2008 didn't have the supply chain disruptions that we are dealing with this year, Scott. And I think that means that it's going to stick around for a while longer. We can come back to the fertilizer market and the decisions on 2022 plantings in a bit, but let's move on to the renewable diesel. On AgriTalk, we have climbed a learning curve to learn about renewable diesel. And we've climbed that curve on sustainable aviation fuel as well. The bottom line, renewable diesel is the fuel, the equivalent of petroleum-based diesel, except that it's expected to be part of the solution in getting to a carbon-neutral liquid fuel. It's quite a task, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think we've all done had a steep learning curve on these products, because it has come on so fast and changed the markets very quickly. It's exciting. I mean, from a soybean perspective, it's quite exciting to be part of some of these solutions for carbon neutrality. It's taken a lot of the demand, our soybean oil demand growth for renewable diesel. And as your listeners probably know, just a quick background on this, biodiesel is the traditional product, but it isn't chemically the same as renewable diesel, like you mentioned. Renewable diesel can be just dropped right into diesel engines and run at 100%. And we're seeing a lot of the oftentimes renewable diesel is produced in petroleum refineries, whereas biodiesel takes a different type of plant, so it's not an easy conversion. You really just can't convert a biodiesel plant. And so we're seeing the rise of a lot of large renewable diesel plants. They're much larger than biodiesel, and the renewable diesel they're hoping to produce will largely be consumed in California because of their low carbon fuel standard.
Right. These refiners, they need to be really careful about the quality of the product that they're bringing in. So they're actually looking for high quality feedstock coming in, right?
Correct. A lot of them are putting in some capacity to do that refining because, like you say, they can kill their catalyst if they're not careful.
Yeah.
So for soybean oil, they need refined bleach and degummed soybean oil. So that's what they're out there looking for. Or if they can put in their own refining capacity, they can take care of that themselves. But yeah, that's an issue. They need a certain quality of product.
Man, everybody at ASA has got to be excited about the investment that's coming into the crush capacity here in the States, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's a long-term demand growth for us. That is really exciting. But it'll help provide more soybean oil for renewable diesel. It'll help livestock guys providing more soybean meal, and it'll help provide demand for soybeans into the future. So it's a very exciting time. There's a lot of sectors that are really going to do well with this.
Yeah. What do you think? What are the risks associated with this push to renewable diesel, Scott? Because it's the size of the market, the potential size of the market is huge. Can we keep up?
It, It is. So if you look at announcements out there, there's about 7 billion gallons of renewable diesel announcements as far as capacity. You know, I've been pretty straightforward in saying I don't think we're going to get to 7 billion. There's not the feedstocks. California doesn't need that much when you look at their carbon market. I mean, there's some growth in some other states of carbon markets, but none of them are the scale of California. So I think the market is going to do what the market does and figure out where these things should go and what the optimal size is. The profit margins are really good right now for renewable diesel, but I think as we see more plants coming online, those margins will get tighter. I think one of the bigger risks is, just our conventional buyers of soybean oil, just making sure that they, that they're well taken care of, which is what we want.
Can't forget about the demand base. No question about that. No question.
And but we're building more crush. So, okay.
Yep. That's right. Scott, we are out of time. Let's talk again soon. Thank you so much. That's Scott Gerlt, American Soybean Association economist.